on all that person, is because he was here when we went through the budget. And I lost the, decision was that this was taken to all political caucuses. Now he's not here. And it's communicating with you.
No, we only chair, for the record, as you have done previously, only once we consider them in the entirety all together. So so that's how the process will work.
Well, the other caucuses didn't have a problem, so now, because we needed you to put forward recommendations.
Yes, and I...
Sorry, recommendations.
Yes, and I have done that.
Good. Okay. Now, what I've got in my hands is only what has was received earlier. I haven't got this. Yeah. But what we are going to do before we even open is to, because this is dealing with a bill, the budget is a bill, is to formally open. Right? And, have the adoption of the agenda, which is only one item, and that is the budget. So can we please have, and there is task force for those who require it, we have someone to propose the adoption of the, thank you, Honourable McLaughlin, seconded by the Honourable Jenko. Right, apologies. I only have the apology standing from William, who's party business.
Chair, an apology from Mr. Yesterday, and Mr.
What's the apology?
He didn't indicate.
No apology is acceptable without a reason.
Those are the ones that I have.
But you've only mentioned one person.
But that's the only one that I've seen.
Right, one. Right. Can we please look at...
And according to Mr. Van Diemen, Academic Albert, for party business, for party business.
Party business for Albert. Yes, Honourable McPherson?
Sorry, Jeff, the Honourable Catalia had to attend a last minute urgent party meeting.
The party business. I know he normally does this, Honourable McPherson, just asking to put him right through the secretary, okay. Through the secretary, okay? So who don't we have an apology from?
Chair, I haven't received any apology from Ms. Van Wien. I'll verify, check my emails.
Yeah, well, verify your emails, otherwise it's absent. Right. So now we move to the consideration of the budget vote report, the report itself. Right. What we're going to do is what we said we would do, start with the conclusions and the recommendations. So now, has everyone got the conclusions and recommendations? All the recommendations, not just what I've got here. See, that is... The recommendations we have are the ANC and the DA. Is that correct? And Albert. I haven't got Albert. Right. Has everyone got the Democratic Alliance, Albert, and the ANC? Is that correct? Good. Have we all got that? Fine. Now, what we're going to do is this, is to read what I had before me and factored in, and then what we'll do, having got this, how is this given to people on the main report, the conclusion, yeah, as is, right, we will look towards the main document, the conclusion, including remarks, as well as the recommendations. Thereafter, we'll take the DA, Honourable McPherson. We'll take the DA and then we will take the Honourable Albert. All right. Okay. So can we turn to your concluding remarks, which starts off.
On page
welcomes the achievements. I can't read that, that's why I reprinted them. The committee welcomes the achievements by the DPI despite the budget constraints. However, it also recognises the challenges the department continues to face and develop mechanisms to address. One, the continued focus on beneficiated industrialisation and the creation of an inclusive economy to promote employment by the DTI and its entities is evident in the budget allocations and targeted expenditure. This is particularly evident in the significant budget share allocation to the highly successful incentive development and administration, industrial development and investment South Africa programme. I just wanted staff to check that the Investment South Africa program is Program 8. Right. Two, the committee welcomes the integrated approach adopted to deal effectively with non-compliance with the BBBEE Act using established relationships with other government entities. And you will recall, members, we've been asking them to do this for some time. It's good to see that they've now done it. This is reflected in the MOUs with the Competition Commission, the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission, the Commission for Employment Equity, the National Gambling Board, and the South African National Accreditation System have been concluded. However, the committee would like to encourage the conclusion of MOUs with the National Prosecuting Authority, South African Revenue Service, and the South African Police Service. The proposal by the Commission, that the company's tribunal should hear the BBBEE matters, as this is cost-effective and, more importantly, could streamline the service delivery. It is welcome. There's something missing, the verb. Do you see that? I think I made the error. However, this may require amendments to... Yes, I will make those.
Yeah, I just want to know when do you want me, or when do you want to deal with inputs on each point of those conclusions?
Once I have finished, as I said, I am then going to entertain the DA. Recommend conclusions, if they have any.
Well, no, well, I don't, but I would like to make input into these conclusions.
Now, I'm just checking as to what we do have. It was only recommendations, is that right?
Yeah.
No, and the Freedom Fund has got the two together. I think what would be highly helpful is if we conclude the point, but when it comes to the BBBEE, when we conclude the point on that. Not used to this one, you. So when it comes to the BBBEE, once we've done 2, 3, and I think it's 4, let me check, 2, 3, and 4, then comment. All right, so number 1, any comments? Right. Number 2 and 3 are read. I'm still reading, I think, number 3. This should contribute directly to addressing the capacity constraint on its ability to effectively discharge its mandate. 4. The committee welcomed the BBBEE Commission, which is expected to play an important role in monitoring compliance with transformation targets and the resources required to effectively play this role. I know I would have said yes to the play, but I think we should talk more about implementing. Furthermore, the committee is of the view that given the transformation challenges, such as sophisticated fronting, there is a need to review the BBBEE Act, including how effective its implementation has been to ensure that transformation reports are meaningful and authentic. Now, that is when we can deal with triple B double E. And is that where you wanted to come in, Honourable Maxwell?
Yeah, thanks. Under point two,
this one knocks off the main person while I'm still speaking.
Precedence knocks you off.
Yes, and that's the problem. So it now requires members to exercise the courtesy I've requested for 5 years or 4.5. That when I'm speaking, unless it is a political intention to cut me off, please refrain.
Thank you. Under point two, which is the committee welcomes the integrated approach adopted to deal effectively with non-compliance with the Act using established relationships with other government entities. I wouldn't necessarily agree with that statement to deal effectively with non-compliance, because we know the last time the Commission was here, she told us that only 12 departments had in fact submitted. So I don't believe that that would be a factual statement. What I think that we should do is in our concluding remarks or recommendations, wherever you want to put it, note that that more engagement or more enforceability to ensure that government itself complies with its own legislation and own requirements is effective.
Yes, I hear what you are saying, but I think they're two different issues. The one issue is the entities themselves. And the entities that are noted here, that is a reality. There is a reality here. However, the point you are making is another issue. And that's what I'm saying. So you're pointing to departments. This is referring specifically to entities. That's a separate issue. So you may wish to say, we do welcome that, yes. And it's the MOUs that have now been done. We asked them to do this. They've done it. All right? Honourable McLaughlin.
Honourable, thank you.
Now, I haven't touched this one.
No, thanks, Chair. I think, Chairperson, you're correct in the way you summarised it, but Honourable McLaughlin wants to include the point. You can look at probably point number four, where in point number four, we actually want to acknowledge their role, that they must play an important role in monitoring compliance, including government performance, because that's where you can try to look at how you put the figures, is compliance general. But the other point, I think, Chair, the different contexts we are clear.
May I ask you to refrain from using yourselves in this meeting? I'm going to ask all of us to use ourselves outside the committee room, please. Because it is important. Right now, you are the only member of your party, Honourable MacPherson, and you've raised an important issue, which no one disagrees with. It is the location we are having a difference of opinion on. So, you heard what was proposed by the Honourable McLaughlin.
Yeah, I just sort of disagree that statement can be factually true, to say that the integrated approach deals effectively with non-compliance of the Act using established relationships. That there's still a lot of non-compliance within entities, within government departments, so I don't believe that can be true. And I think that even within that, we should note that, in fact, compliance by entities and departments is poor at best.
Yes. Well, I think in the end we'll take a majority position on this if we have to, but I would like to persuade you that we do welcome the integrated approach, and it's noted this does not apply across the board. We've made that very clear, but it applies very specifically to only a few. And we still criticise in a mild way, perhaps. We want to encourage the conclusion with the rest of them. And the ones remaining outstanding are very important to conclude. And I think that says it all. Honourable Khadebe?
Chairperson, I agree with you, because what happens, I think what Honourable McPherson is raising is that some entities are not complying with that. But here, the entities we are referring to are the ones which are in the space of ensuring compliance. I can make an example. You go to an ESCOM. Do they comply with this? No, they don't. They don't. So that one is a different case altogether.
Okay.
But here, we are hoping together the entities which are involved in the monitoring and regulatory environment in the implementation of this plan.
Right, if we come then, Honourable McPherson, to number four, and we capture the point which we all do agree with, we've seen this with localization and the rest, that departments across the board are not complying, whilst some may be. So on this one, I wonder if we couldn't, because you're referring specifically to departments, the committee acknowledges that it is expected to play an important role in monitoring compliance with this and the resources required to effectively implement this, we should say. So maybe at this point here, as we raise the issue of fronting, that the committee remains concerned that several departments continue not to comply. But then we're going to be asked which ones. And if we can't say which ones, then we're going to have to say the ones that do. Do you follow? We can't just leave it like that. So I'll hear what you have to say after Honourable McLaughlin, because you may want to include your response to him. Honourable McLaughlin.
Well, Chairperson, my suggestion is that let's not narrow the matter. Let's be broad, because you see the example Honourable Hadebe is making. Is the compliance by government? Government, I would prefer to use the word public sector, because it also includes state-owned companies. Immediately you reduce it to department, you lose the point.
Yeah.
And then the example in the later round of fronting and others, then it gives a compliance by both the private and public sector, because it's a problem we face across board. But the top one, Chair, you were spot on, is institution that must enforce any person who goes out of line, including some kidnapping activity.
All right, so Honourable McPherson, in the light of what you have heard, how would you like to add to point four?
Now, I'm happy with the way that the Honourable McLaughlin has captured it, but it's not several, because several include sort of three or more. This is a vast majority of public sector entities and departments that do not comply. And that's the point. You know, we should have posted if we say several. It doesn't sound too bad. But the point is that it's significant.
Right. I reckon the word significant captures the emphasis. Right. So, however, a significant number of institutions and organisations and companies in the private and public sector continue to ignore or continue to remain outside full compliance with the XYZ. I think that's quite right. So thank you for reminding us of that, Honourable McPherson. Okay. There's reference to the Act and the implementation, and I just cleaned up the English there. All right? I don't know who's actually noting. Is it yourself, Honourable Madalani? Right. I mean,
Chair, I am capturing the points, but I had another point on number three.
Yeah.
There are two issues, they can separate them, because there's the issue of legislation, then there's the issue of funding. After nevertheless, point three, there's nevertheless. Can you take that down to be a new point? the issue of the budget.
I see. I can't read.
Number three.
Yes.
Can we move down? Nevertheless.
You want it to as a point four?
Yes. It's a good.
Okay, now we have a problem, that's fine,
Then we go on to efforts. Now, there's only one issue on SEZ, so comment when that is finished. Efforts to create an inclusive South Africa by designating SEZs in various provinces across the country are welcomed by the committee. Indeed, the impact on the local economy, as evidenced in the rescue of a collapsing dairy industry, in which SEZ was that? Kucha. What's the closest town to Kuka? Where they were delivering the milk. Okay. Is a very good example. However, the committee noted with concern the delays of some of the SEZs, or in some of the SEZs, in particular the Saldanha Bay SEZ, which are experiencing is that delays or problems in becoming, they are delayed, okay, let's just clean up the sentence. The committee noted with concern the delay in some SEZs, particularly the Saldanha Bay SEZ, which is experiencing a delay in becoming fully operational. As this compromises its ability to contribute to expanding the strategic industrial base in a decentralized manner. Now I'll look up.
I'm saying the way you have rephrased it, it's correct. First it gives the broader one, then the specific one. Yeah.
Number seven now. The committee welcomed the decision by the DTI to review legislation that would address the challenges facing the National Gambling Board and lead to the NGB becoming a regulator. However, there's no need for the first comma. However, this process should be fast-tracked. We should not blame member staff for this, the grammar. It was me, all right? Okay. I don't see any hands at this point. Eight, the completion of the South African National Accreditation System, new premises, is welcome, which should enable the entity to expand their staff complement and overcome the impediments of capacity constraints. We're not saying it will. We simply say, look, they complained of not enough space. They've got the space now, so it should be helpful, huh? However, the aging technical infrastructure at NAMESA remains a challenge which should be urgently reviewed. The committee welcomed the proactive decision of NAMESA to supplement its budget through the provision of service to industry players. The committee also welcomed the conclusion of Project 500, which recruited specialists demographically and geographically to be fast-trained as technical assessors on the job by NAMESA to address the capacity shortages in this area. Now, I'm going to ask staff for their assistance as we take the DA. Honourable Maslobo?
Hey, I'm just going to make one general comment, Chair. I was looking at you when we were reading this sentence. Yes. I would suggest, because these documents, they sometimes become public documents, that where there are abbreviations, find a space to have that nomenclature known.
Yeah.
Because we don't want it to look like we're speaking to ourselves, that's one. The one around the 500 people, probably we might have to get the right English word, because my understanding is that these 500 were given training in the shortest possible space, because not fast trained. They were trained within a reasonable shortest period to improve their capacity.
6 months. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember the figure of 6 months.
It was more about they are improving the efficiency. Let's put it to say that they will change within a period of 6 months.
Yeah. I think, Honourable Matobo, you've got it right. Technically, of course, but they would agree that it's fine to accept the abbreviations here. But I think, Mr. Herman, you need to tell the people downstairs who do the final reading. Mm-hmm. We want it spelt mm-hmm. out again in the conclusion.
We can do
I know we spelt it out earlier,
yeah.
but we specifically mm-hmm. want it spelt out again in the conclusion, all abbreviations. All right? Okay. Now let's take the Democratic Alliance input here. Dean, you're going to be leading us there. I'm looking. You spoke about one. You need to read it. Sorry. You need to read it into the mic, please. We've got them in front of us.
Yes.
Please read it into the mic.
On the recommendations.
Yeah. Oh, are these the recommendations? Okay, they're not only the Freedom Front. Now, the Freedom Front is not here, so the staff will read it. Right.
Chair, I looked at Freedom Front conclusions, and Sekonda will speak to it because she noted it exactly where there's a link between what the African National Congress has proposed, and she will speak to that.
Ms. Madalani?
Sorry, I see there's someone new here.
Who is it? No, but I don't know who it is. Miss Nontombi Matumela, Acting Group Chief Operating Officer. Gee, that's a huge position. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. We received input from the Freedom Front class, and some of the input relates to input that has been made by the ANC already. In this report, it's been put already next to the relevant one that has been put by the ANC. So you would have two options, the ANC option and the Freedom Front option. Some of the options can be merged, or you substitute one for the other depending on which one sounds better. They are not exact as they are as they were submitted. Mr. Hammond and I did some work on them to make sure that they sound as conclusions. Should I go through them?
Well, if I can just get, if I may, on the floor, or just get something I can read, you see.
No, I think, Chair, my understanding is that from a process point of view and a method of work, they have submitted the team has integrated. We have now spoken on conclusion as a committee in full session. Where were the additional comments? We're done with them. Unless in noting here, if there's any other thing that we think is significant, some of us will read much faster.
Sure.
The issues are not substantive. And already they have been included. That's why you allowed us, whether it's CA or ANC, in between, when we're going through the conclusions, we've commented on the conclusions.
I think the point being made is that they are not substantive. So if you look at what we've got on the table, the DA gave a substantive input into one of the conclusions, all right? The question we ask now is, can it stop? I can't read this. It's too small and I can't read that colour up there. So I am now looking at members who can read, and I believe they're telling me they are not substantive. If there is anything that the staff wish to draw to my attention, they can do so now. Do you want to draw something, Ms. Madalani? Right, do so.
Chair, it would be fine, as the Honourable Masobwe stated it, but I wanted to put this on the record. There are points here, point 2, point 6, and point 8.
Read it. I can't read what's here. It's too small and staff know that.
On this page by the... The National Lotteries Commission's mandate must be reviewed so as to ensure a greater focus on social development and poverty alleviation, including protection of animals. We would suggest that it not be included. For two reasons. The report does not speak specifically to the National Lotteries Commission. In the body of the report, we only mention the commission when we're dealing with transfers, and we mention that the commission does not receive transfers from the DTI. If that is okay with members?
Well, I'm going to just check and ask a question from of staff. Is it raised by the minister in his report? And the only report we have is that, what is it, it's the APP, isn't it? Right. Is it raised there?
Because that's also too small for me to read. Unless it's on a laptop.
It isn't. You see, if it's not raised, then we can't make a concluding remark technically. I wonder, do people understand that comment? Honourable Debbie?
Chairperson, I agree with the researcher here. That from the entities which were interacted with in the process, although I was not there, but I could get to the National Lotteries Commission was never interacted with, so we cannot go to town in concluding about the issues. If you want something around, because this is a budget report, if you want something, let's call it in, more oversight, so that we engage, so it cannot be included.
All right, that takes care of that. The next one I can now read, Mr. Hermans has bumped it all up. And believe you me, it's not through senility I can't read, but because I've got one eye. All right, carry on the
Sorry, I just want to make sure,
are we sure that these are conclusions and not recommendations?
Member of staff interacted with the Honourable Albert. Otherwise I have to call him. Honourable MacPherson.
Because I'll submit to you that if it is a recommendation, then in fact the member can table them as is to be considered as recommendations.
Yeah, the point is, I know that if the DA Alliance doesn't really include the Freedom Front.
I'm going to Chairperson. I'm actually not going to accept those sort of sarcastic remarks. Yes, it was definitely a sarcastic remark. Because I'm even though the honourable member cannot be here, and even if an honourable member of the ANC was not here, I would have said the same thing to give them their right and opportunity. So I would actually ask that you respect that I would stand up for any member, regardless of being in an alliance or not.
No, here we are. I'm looking at his email. Because I cannot put words into anyone's mouth. He said he agreed, both Mr. Hermans and Ms. Sheldon, and he says, please find here the F Freedom Front plus contribution to recommendations. That it says this very, very clearly. Not conclusions. All right? So those are all put forward as recommendations. The person is not here to speak for himself. We can ring him if it's urgent. Honourable Mustache.
Chair, I have a question for Lucas, because the instruction that was issued to parties was that they must make recommendation. So there's nothing that you debate about, Mr.
Right. Okay. So let's just go further on that and complete it as a recommendation. Honourable Global.
No, I would also support Honourable Mantashi that the good work we have done on conclusion, we accept it to the committee. Then you will take us through the last part, which is the recommendation.
Right. Are we all agreed with that way forward? Yes.
Thank you, Chair. On point number 7, the one that talks to Namisa, the DCI has also committed 130 million towards the revival of the infrastructure for Namisa, Chair. And I thought that that is something that perhaps the committee would want to include.
Yes, no, thank you very much. The 7 here. Will be, it was the old 7, Namisa. Which is now number 8. Do we, I'm looking at all members as I talk, do we agree there?
Yes.
Right, okay. How much? As a matter of fact, members, this was said in committee before I left. It was reported, and we've overlooked it. All right.
The amount mentioned after that has been reserved, she was budgeted for Namisa over 25 years, 130 million. It means that they are not serious about this entity. Yes, if they are not serious, they must just send to us.
If you look at the, I'm looking at yourself, Ms. Naidoo, you were in that meeting. You will recall that I pointed out that if you factored in the inflation, I'm not sure exactly if it would be tuppence or 20 rand. And I said something like that actually in the meeting. So the fact that it's stretched over so long, I think we have to qualify. While it is welcome, because of the impact of inflation and the need to factor it in, the department needs to review the time period for the allocation. Honourable Kandebi?
Chairperson, I think the other danger of this is, can we go beyond the period of 3 years? I think we cannot go beyond 3 years.
No.
So we cannot put it in the report that over 25 years.
Yeah,
we cannot only go up to 3 years only. So let's get that value for 3 years.
Honourable Mahlobo.
No, thank you, Honourable Chair. I think Honourable Hadjar is correct. Let's limit it to MTS, that's one. Number two, I was here too when the DG made that commitment. But I wanted to know, is it in concretely in the budget? And if it is not, let's not include something that you have not, because it doesn't have an intention to ask this.
Can we move? I think most members want to move. Are we correct? We're now moving to recommendation. All right. The recommendations here. Page. The committee further recommends that the House request that the Minister of Trade and Industry should consider one. Many challenges. The wording here has to be changed somewhat to read more as a recommendation. Many challenges would be addressed, especially in the localization of designated products, if departments adopted a more integrated approach and worked together to overcome the impediments that have arisen with respect to tenders awarded but not followed through with related orders. That is a reality. Honourable McPherson, I'll take you first, followed by the Honourable McLaughlin.
Sorry, Chair, with respect, I would submit to you that 6.1, 6.2 and 6.3 should rather actually be in the conclusions, because they actually don't make apparently what the recommended intention is. The only recommendation that I can see is 6.4, where that is a concrete amending of legislation. But 6.1, 2 and 3 seem to be more statements than recommendations.
Now, I can certainly would have taken that, except that the number one has actually been the biggest negative impact on localization that we have faced. People are not working together. I've heard you. Can I hear Honourable McLaughlin, and I'll come back to you, Honourable McPherson.
No, then, Chair, I think Chairperson, is just the question that we need to rework the, the word. For an example, we'll suggest that the minister should consider an integrated approach and work together, that's how we should start, and remove the word many challenges and other. Then it becomes more,
Do we hear that to you know, so that what we're really saying then is we've all agreed that this is a problem. That departments should adopt a more integrated approach and work together to overcome the impediments. Can I? I'm in the middle of reading. Work together to overcome the impediments that have arisen with respect to tenders of order but not followed through with related orders. Right, Mr. Herman. We're asking departments to work together, but we have to ask our minister to engage with other ministers in this regard. So with respect to it not followed through with orders, therefore the committee requests that the Minister of Trade and Industry engage with his colleagues, his ministerial colleagues, to adopt. Do you see? Because we can't, he has to. Do we agree? I don't think we must ever have that colour again. Anyway, number two. The big issue is that all along, the ANC has been saying this, but indeed the DA has said this as well publicly, and so has the Freedom Front Plus, and indeed even the EFF has said this. that we have to have public-private partnerships. Now, it is not something that is currently all over the place in Dublin. We need to request that they do begin to take this seriously. Honourable McLaughlin.
Well, I think that when it cleans up, they can use the way that Shul calls it a strengthening public-private partnership as well as constructive social competence of the civil society during this time of fiscal constraints. Did you manage to get me, leadership?
I got you, but I'm just looking at, Ms. Madalani, because I can't see what it is.
It should consider strengthening public-private partnership as well as developing constructive social combat with civil society during this time of fiscal constraints.
What Mr. Hermans is saying to me here, is this really our mandate? Every department that is involved with the business sector has the mandate to develop a public-private partnership. Every department. It doesn't reside specifically with any one department per se.
You know, the recommendation is because Chairperson, we are observing that more work needs to be done. And remember that even when we are reporting as a committee, we are not only reporting technical, we are also saying that we want people to be involved. Mm. Even if it can look like it's a re-emphasis, but it's an important part because remember there's been a view that civil society involvement, normally when I used to work on the other side, they thought I was too hard on civil society. And those things that when they come up, they give a sense to say, in the new dawn, we will want everybody to put their shoulders on the wheel.
Honorable Khadebe?
Chairperson, there's nothing wrong with that emphasis because we are making a recommendation to our own department to deal with that it must do that, that work, must do that networking so that when we assess it, when we come back next year and assess it, they must tell us how far do they go. Thank you.
Yes, fine. I think what you've got there, everyone can read it. Am I right? We can all read that? Fine. Three. Given the positive business environment, both domestically and internationally, the DTR should capitalize on this by accelerating its productive investment initiatives and promoting increased competitiveness, particularly in South Africa's comparative advantages. This is to do with the issue that has been raised with trade that a lot of our goods and services are not as competitive as they should be. It's one aspect when we export them. But, it's up to the committee here. This is just being put forward. Should we retain this, throw it out, or what? Honourable McLaughlin?
Well, I was looking at it, including some of the contribution by the Freedom Front Plus. There is some that sentence looks to be coming up on the other side. But probably it's just the way in how do you start it, because remember now we're on the recommendation.
Let's look at the...
If you look at their point, especially around point number six,
okay,
and look at this point, there's some kind of, even if it can't be 100%, but it's more about promoting competitiveness and opportunities.
I see that.
Mine is that we should consider capitalizing on the positive business environment to accelerate the productive investment initiatives and promote increased competitive, particularly, blah, blah, blah. That's how we should close our time to the wedding.
And that way we could bring this in. Is there anything on the DTI side on the recommendations on that? Let me just check. The Democratic Alliance. Yeah, but I have You know something? You've got something here, Honourable MacPherson, under number one. Do you want to try and factor that in along here, or what?
Well, I would say that the recommendation as put by the ANC is quite broad, and without mentioning specifics to exactly what consensus, which is why I put there. You know that it's something that I've repeatedly said, that we need a longer term view on NSEP instead of this sort of year by year rolling situation. So I'm happy to see that integrated, but I want those specifics in there.
Well, so far we've been giving the broad point, and then we've come down to the specific. Of course, on the other hand, we've also heard the point about sticking to a three-year MTES, on the other hand. Now, I'm not throwing it out. I'm just trying to get my own head around what you saying now. I think, yes, a competitive program should be 10, 20 years. On the other hand, we've already just agreed to the 3 years. So let me just get from yourself, Honourable McLaughlin, because I think the point about the competitive enhancement program is important.
Well, Chair, I think we should support it, probably rather than to the last week. The Minister should ensure further funding is secure for manufacturing competitive enhanced program and a long-term view or a long-term plan.
Yeah.
Is presented, because you could see, but the other issue around the MTF is because we're worried by people making a financial fix that goes beyond what how government does.
All right, can I check with yourself, Honourable
MacPherson? Yeah. So far to say that already the department does commit itself to more than three-year MTF plans. One only has to look at the South African Automotive Master Plan, the incentives that are being placed up to 2025. So I don't see why we would not want to say we actually want to see a 10-year plan. We don't want to see these continual, rolling three-year plans. But in order for manufacturing to be able to commit to a, to rehearing their flaws, they need to know what is the long-term strategic goal of the department instead of this sort of one-year rolling program.
But wouldn't you agree that, as you've just pointed out here to all of us again, emphasize that, the sort of other motor vehicle thing of 20 years and something else is longer, You could say that you're restricting it to 10 years. That could be at the other angle. If you say long term, we're already saying it's going to be a long term issue. We want to keep it. Let's get that straight. We do want to retain it. We're really just putting a point forward now on time. Honourable Kadebe, followed by the Honourable Tierko.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I think that in our recommendations, we must not enter the space of co-governing with the SNP. We cannot do that because our main thing is oversight. So I think that by saying long term, they then have to determine how they are going to do the chance which they can be able to eat. We must avoid that, because that's why I emphasize the issue of the 3 years. That's where we can go, but beyond that, it's difficult. But then to avoid that, let's get to that long term aspect. Yeah.
Right. All right, that's one view, Honourable Tierko.
Thanks, Chair. I was of a view that my question must just agree. You were agreeing with the sentence. So please. I think if I say please, maybe you'll understand. No, it's a long term, not a short term. And you're emphasizing the term that is there to say we must plan for the future, not for.
Yes, I agree. I'm supporting the long-term share.
All right.
Why supporting the 10-year? But it's in the long-term, in a sense, doesn't being a long-term.
May I just point out to members something that was Mr. Herman said to me. The DA actually put what you see in our talent was the exact wording of the DA. What the staff did was just to rephrase it somewhat. And if we were to keep what is in Roman, additional funding for the MCEP and the tabling of a long-term plan. And we put a time limit on that. We don't want it tabled in 5 years. We want it tabled in a short term, you know, what was within 3 months. This was an election year, I don't know. What would be reasonable, Honourable Ms. Lawball?
Well, I think, Chair, probably because now we are becoming more instructive, we probably we might also look the broader if why such kind of a recommendation comes. This kind of a recommendation, even if it's not coming from the ANC, my understanding is about creating certainty and confidence in the incentive program that, you know what, this is how it looks like over a long-term period. So at least you can boost whoever wants to look at South Africa as an investment destination or growing certain sectors that want to invest in. And sometimes we lose those points.
Uh-huh.
And then when we lose it, because at our level it's more about policy aspects. But I think, for an example, to say let them produce, this one is a very involved because you need to do sectoral consultation, I mean, because it doesn't actually become a departmental one. It's a sectoral driven.
But when do we want to set a timeline then? That's the decision we need. Do we need and want to set a timeline? We also facing the fact that, of course, it's elections, etc. And if there's no great certainty in exactly who will come back specifically as the minister in a particular sector or whatever mandate. Honourable Maximus?
Sure, I can live with the idea of a long-term plan. But I just want to sort of disagree with this idea that, you know, we cannot sort of push the executive into doing something. We are not subservient to the executive.
No.
And so, you know, in fact, this is a program that was in fact developed by the minister. So we should be saying to the minister, well, what are your plans to further and finalize it? So it's certainly not, you know, intruding into the executive space. But what I would then suggest is, you know, as with everything, it's always in the implementation.
Sure.
And I would then say, well, you know, this is not something that the minister is not aware of or has not discussed with us or I have not discussed with him or with you or with the committee. And we know that Treasury is certainly receptive to it and has allocated money in the current budget, you know, for a rollover, if you will. So I think that certainly within the next or within the current financial year, which we have just entered into, and certainly within this current financial year, I think that we should be able to develop the long-term plan.
Yes, you see how you almost persuaded me to move into your thing. But, of course, it is long-term, which we've all agreed upon. And I think then we are needing to create greater business certainty by saying in this maybe financial year. Do we agree on that? Fine. And then if we then take that to, where was I now? We were going to take it here, where was it, link it to the competitiveness, number three. Which is this one. All right. Are we all agreed? Yes. So, no, you know, we shouldn't be making separate, it is actually linked to number 3.1 or 3 in the bullet. It is, that's why I didn't want all those triple B's to be separate. The whole issue was on triple B, double E, and then boom, 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 all about triple B's.
So they can be separate points, but linked to the same number. Okay. Now then, we've done that one, it seems. And we're then on number four.
Number four.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. But now let's see what we've got here that is an addition. We're looking at number two. Finalizing and sending. I'm looking at the DA recommendation. Finalizing. Just read it, Honourable MacPherson.
Sorry, are you looking for me to 6.2? So this is finalizing and sending the South African Automotive Master Plan and the AIDP to Parliament for approval. You will know that it was, even though you were quite disproving of myself raising it with the meetings that we had in Germany last week, it is one of the critical things that needs to be finalized and approved by Parliament to give automotive manufacturers in South Africa a long-term security about their incentives going forward. I think it is the only step that still remains before we find agreement. But I mean, I think that there obviously has to be discussion within the committee and presentation to the committee about what is actually enabled in those plans, and then for Parliament to adopt them.
You are asking for a whole fresh body of work in many ways, Honourable MacLauvel.
Well, my suggestion, because we're making recommendation, let's make a recommendation, but avoid this inline of separation of powers. For issues of certainty and investor confidence, the plan is required, I will agree. But to say it must then be tabled to Parliament, I think let's not go to that final part. But to create certainty, the conducive environment to move South Africa forward on this sector, I agree.
So I think, Can I just ask, please don't interrupt me. That was actually in the middle of a word.
Can I then suggest that the word and sending be removed, and so it would read finalising the SAAM plan and the AIDP for approval?
Yes. Great. Now we're moving on the same in the same vein. Honourable Khadebe?
Chair, I think Honourable Mahlova has just raised the issue of for approval by whom.
All right, what you're suggesting
is finalizing the South African Automotive Master Plan and the Automotive Industrial Development Plan. That's it, period. You end up there.
So we are in fact telling them to do something for business certainty. All right? Honourable MacPherson, can you go along with that, please? Thank you. All right, then we go to the continental free trade. From what I understood, this was still a framework issue. See, this, remember our last clarification on that. It would be what? This will be some... No. The point is, in all our understanding from the minister, they cannot yet sign, well, we wouldn't want them to sign a framework per se, would we? I'm going to ask MacPherson to tell us what he wants and then for us to comment.
Thank you, Jay. You will know that the minister, and was in fact the president, flew to Kigali to sign the declaration, known as the Kigali Declaration, and he however chose not to sign the actual agreement. I'm sure why, the exact reason. There are broad sort of reasons, but nothing specific. And I think that my point is is that this is an agreement which is incredibly important to South Africa, incredibly important for businesses in South Africa to be able to have market access towards into Africa, and it's incredibly important that we finalise that agreement, because it will only come into effect once 22 member countries have in fact signed the agreement. And I can't remember off the top of my head how many have signed it, but I think it would be important to encourage the signing of that agreement.
Thank you, Honourable McPherson. Honourable Khadidi.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I'll still go back to the aspect I said earlier, the issue of negotiating the international agreement remains the work of the executive. If they're finished with that, I think that we have to ratify it as Parliament. Yeah. If there are certain things which are still outstanding, we cannot push them to that. So I think that this one really is misplaced. We cannot recommend that to Parliament as the portfolio committee.
Right. Does anyone else wish to comment before you come, Honourable McPherson? I'll take Honourable Mantash, then Honourable Matlobo, and then
I tend to agree with Comrade Honourable that we cannot force the President to sign this agreement or ratify. Let's leave it for the executive to do it.
Honourable Matlobo.
Well, I think that's Honourable Chair. I think we can find a better wording without encroaching. Remember, currently there are certain issues that made the President not to sign. But we are actually part of those who are at the forefront to promote Africa intertrade. I'm not sure what kind of a sentence you could use to say we actually need to welcome in some form, but then encourage that South Africa, in a particular way, we should be able to actually continue to participate so that we can actually promote the continental world. Because I know that is a particular point of emphasis, but there are certain sticky issues that also make Nigeria, but we should be seen that we are also pro-African economic integration. But without saying that,
Right. Honourable
McPherson. Thank you. I would then suggest, because I think it is one of the important focuses that you wanted to put on this committee this year, which was trade. And I think that what we should do is encourage, as a recommendation, we encourage the finalisation of any outstanding issues that might exist for the CFCA.
Yeah, I just want to come in with something else, though, but let us first take every point. Honourable McLobo.
Before we put the word, the Honourable Chair, encourage, I would suggest the first word is to support and encourage. Because that process, because it's an important process.
Thank you, Honourable McDonald. Honourable Khadebe.
All right, Chair, because we are dealing with trade, I think that if we can include the promotion of intra, we support and encourage the executive to enter into the continental free trade area to promote the intra-Africa trade. I think that one is more relevant for us.
I have one suggestion to the committee proposal before I make a ruling on this. I think this is going to be best suited to the conclusion. You see, because what are we actually recommending? We are asking them to take this very seriously. We are asking them to support and we wish to encourage all efforts at strengthening our intra-African trade to promote continental whatever
I mean, fancy words there, and go there. But I do think, and I want to persuade you, Honourable McPherson, would be better placed in conclusion. We actually haven't got an agreement yet signed, but we would also have our reservations, surely, as a committee. We've seen what's happened with the EPAs. We've seen a number of things go wrong. And we do know that many of our borders with our African brothers and sisters, they are not yet fully harmonized and so on. So, and some of them are even talking about one currency and others aren't, etc. So there are many serious elements here that we are not privy yet to what is actually holding this up. And I would like to push the government into something that we will regret ourselves. So I want to persuade you, Honourable McPherson, because it's the VA recommendation. Let's take it to conclusion. Can I have your comment, Honourable McPherson?
No.
Now, I didn't hear what Honourable
McPherson
said. It's your point. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's, I'm not, I don't have a problem with that. I just get uncomfortable when Parliament is actually the ratifying body of agreement, and I do take the Honourable Hadebe's point that it is the executive that negotiates treaties and agreements. But what we shouldn't do is we shouldn't allow these things to drag on at the expense of South African business, which in fact is going to be, and you know, if you read commentary, that South Africa is going to be one of the biggest beneficiaries of the CFTA. So I would hope and encourage the committee that in the conclusions that we strongly encourage the finalisation of the treaty so that it can be ratified and we can benefit from it.
Yes, we could also request, because we have that oversight capacity, and ask the minister, can he please share with us the status of what's in the report? Because we're sitting here, we do not know what is in this report at all. And I always think it's a danger to encourage someone to run with something I don't even know what they're running with. That's what worries me. I don't know what's in here. Does anyone know sitting here? No. So that's why I think in the first place, which we've all agreed, we take it to conclusion. And in the second place, what we could do is to ask the minister for a status report on this. We haven't got one, have we? Can we go that route rather? I'm looking at... Yeah. Okay. So I'm looking at you, Ms. Magalani. Are you sort of trying to put something together there on that continental agreement? Yeah. South Africa, free trade, etc. Because you're quite right. We want that. We are part of the continent. That is what we want as a vision. But as we take the vision, let's not trip ourselves up. Honourable McPherson, let's see what's the other one there. Well, I don't have another one. Yeah, number four.
Thank you, Chairperson. You'll recall that this is actually something that the committee has probably been driving since 2015, and the establishment of audit outcomes on local procurement. We as a committee took a decision, I think it was in 2016, that this is what we would want the Auditor General to establish. Unfortunately, I think that, you know, it seems to have sort of fallen off the wayside for some reason, and I just think it's important that we continue to press that those audit outcomes must be a part of the tribunal's scope of work, because, you know, that is the only sort of measure of local procurement that we can actually monitor and enforce through state-owned entities and government departments.
Now, I must agree with you there, that that was seen, we all welcomed the offer that they could do this, you know, at the time, yes, because we very desperately need to tighten up this whole localization issue. And I think that it would be well placed in recommendations, Honourable McLaughlin.
Well, Chair, I'll be guided by yourself because some of us were not here. But I vote because it's not a new matter. Mm-hmm. If Honourable McLaughlin is compatible, it can come back as a part of conclusion, subset on the issue of compliance, which is part of the number 4. It doesn't get lost. But those issues of local procurement that deal with the present issues. But let him look at it, whether maybe I'm missing the point.
Yes, I thought, now thank you, Honourable McLaughlin, I thought we made a reference to localization here in the conclusion.
Yes.
Honourable McPherson?
Thank you very much. You're right, we do make reference to localization in conclusions, and that's why I think that we should continue to enforce this or reinforce this in recommendations. That the only way to actually to see those conclusions met is through the implementation, and we can only continue to press that recommendation, we can only continue to press that to the department through a recommendation. And yes, Honourable McLaughlin, this is something that has been agreed to, but it does appear that it's sort of fallen off the wayside for somewhat. And so I think we need to continue to recommend to the Minister that in conjunction with the Auditor General that these are finalised now within this financial year.
All right. Let me just get my breath back there.
I'm okay.
All right, I heard the point there. Honourable
Kadebe? Chairperson, I think that we, in the program, if we are going to roll out the committee program, we must call back the Auditor General. Mm-hmm. Because the issue of localization actually embarrassed us, man, big time. Although I was not part of that, but we could, you know, there's public hearings we had. You know, wherever we were, we're shrinking by day. To see that we spend so much money acting Chief Operating Officer, we spend so much money on investing on this infrastructure part. What we are getting out is far lower than what we expected. Yeah. So I think that because of that report, we must put it there. But let it go to the start where we are saying more on the conclusion. But as part of the program, we must call them back, the Auditor General's office, so that we get that commitment.
All right. I just want to re-emphasize before you come in, Honourable McPherson, that is why we actually said we're having this inquiry. It was only about 6 weeks ago when Parliament gave us a shortened program of work that we actually found that we couldn't do the localization when we intended to do it in May. When this was going to be tackled, it was such a serious issue, but now that we've had to cut back on what we can and can't do and reprioritize, we have to focus on the bills. So it is a serious issue. And, you know, the reality is it's been in recommendations before, if I'm not mistaken, and I've seen us Naidu nodding, and the department was going to pursue this. And this is why the issue is we're now waiting on the Auditor General. That is the problem. Because we've done what we can, you see, as the department, and we don't have it. We can't, unless we get this sharp tool, we will continue to find it difficult to bring departments to account on this. So I do believe
that we could retain it in conclusions, but probably as the final tough one. Honourable Mahlobo?
Well, I don't think, Honourable Chair, even if it's a tautology repeated, even in the recommendation, I don't think it's a problem. But we can use the word ensure. Ensure that the audit outcomes by the AG for the local procurement are finalized, because I also remember that this has been the biggest issue even for the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation to say, what are you doing? Are these things working, this problem? But I also remember that they were recommending that even the audit outcomes now, the audit outcomes so that you get it reflected by the AG, whether we are doing something or not.
I do like that, and allow me to let you have the last point.
Thank you very much. I'm indeed encouraged by the seriousness that members take this, and that we do see this as a sharp tool, to use your words, Honourable Chair. I might just want to then just change the wording, if that's okay, to read for the Minister, because I think it's a discussion to be finalised between the Minister and the Auditor General, to ensure the finalisation of the audit outcomes for local public procurement.
Yes, the Minister is directly involved to prepare that direct relationship. You're quite right. All right, now, let's just make sure we know where we're putting it. You placed it under recommendations, and I think there's been a slight qualification on what I suggested in conclusion, and I think the Honourable Mahlobo is saying, you know what? We can make a point in conclusion, but we should agree that it goes in recommendation. Should we even refer to it then in conclusion, or should we just take it to recommendation? Right. Are we agreed? Amanda, yeah. Right. Now we've done that, we've dealt with all of yours, the DA. Right. With respect to the Freedom Front, well, you see, members, I really think, and I'm going to say this here, but I will also say it directly to the Honourable Elvis. If your party wants to make such a serious input at the end of a budget report, I think it's imperative that you are here. And I am putting that on record, but I should also point that out to him in a one-to-one. So we must ensure that. But let us come then to the references. Number one, we've all got this. Let's just quickly go through them, and I'll say one. And if you think we should factor it in along the line, put your hand up. One.
My suggestion, with your permission,
yeah.
The Secretariat has said that their input already has been factored into the conclusion.
Yeah.
For an example, point number one is included there.
Yeah.
The issues on point number four for this institution is there. The issues around ITEF towards the end there is included. There is no something that is so material.
Okay.
Therefore, they can't say they have not been taken into account. And that's why we're satisfied that there has been some attempt to integrate.
Let's hear the Honourable MacPherson on this point.
Sorry, thank you. The two points that I would take out of this is possibly looking at a recommendation around point two of the National Lottery Commission. And we do know that the National Lottery Commission has faced problems this year. They have been in the headlines for the wrong reasons. And maybe there is a possibility to look at a recommendation around the National Lottery Commission, and then possibly under point five to somehow work that in with our recommendation around point one, which did in fact look at your 6.3, my 6.1, which in fact looked at investment initiatives and productivity. So, and Advocate Albert was specifically referring to film production incentives. So there might be a way to sort of include film production incentives under the investment and incentive recommendation, and then you might want to look at creating a new recommendation around the National Lottery Commission.
I know what you're saying. I'm trying to find it, though. I know we've got incentives here. I mean, and then you did refer to number point one, didn't you? Yeah, I see where it is here. Okay. So that is the proposal you are making with respect to Honourable Albert's film one, which is number five here. Right, let's deal with the first one you raised, the National Lottery Commission. Now, the National Lottery Commission, this did come up. They didn't come to us on the budget, but they did come to us. Now, I'm trying to remember the occasion or reason why they came. Just tell me, Ms. Madalani.
Quarterly reports, Chair.
Yes. And we asked them this question, and they said to us that they had engaged with, in fact, you're quite right, it's all over the front pages of the Weekend. I don't know why they wasted so much space, except people like me are job lovers, you see, present cash, that's why. But the whole issue was that he said he did engage as the National Lotteries Commission, they engaged with the SPCA and asked them to come along, and they didn't come along at all. So he said that in the meeting. Now, that was not the budget that we were engaging on, but the quarterly report. So that's the only aspect I can comment on, because that was what was referred to. Honourable Khadebe?
Chairperson, on this issue, as I said, when I looked at this report, I made a disadvantage that I was not there initially, but the issue of changing the mandate is something so serious that we cannot just in one meeting we can conclude to that.
Yeah.
So I think that one must go out here. Yeah?
Yeah.
Because as the African National Congress will never engage around that, so we cannot endorse it here, just like that. I think we'll need further engagement with the National Lottery Commission.
I'm looking at any one else who may wish to comment. Right. Honourable, well, you see, the point is Honourable Albert is not here, so that's what I would say. So it means that leaves it for me then to make some form of ruling on this. The reality is that this mandate is a very serious issue. They are already putting focus on social development and poverty alleviation. It talks about creating greater focus. But what I think, when this was done, and the mandate was put together and we approved it and agreed with it and it was passed, the emphasis was made that we should not try and pick up the budget. There's a national fiscus, there's a budget, and it does X, Y, Z. We do have social development. It's social development departments, isn't it? Development departments. The poverty alleviation, yes, is very broad. They are already focusing on that. The question has to be, if you are with greater focus on that, you're going to take it away from already what we've agreed to, cultural, this, that, and the next thing. And already the SPCA is having a concern that the poor dogs are not enjoying enough. So, you know, you could go on and on. So I don't want to go on and on there. All right? So I want to say that they did not come. We did engage them with a quarterly report. But that I would ask, and again, Honourable MacPherson, that I shall speak to the Honourable Albert and say it is on those two issues that my ruling was made that we do leave it out of the report. That does not prevent him speaking to the issue in the debate. And so then we move to anything else. You referred to the other one, the film and asked if we couldn't just factor that in and almost link it and mention the fact that we are already working on a bill. You know, in any event, there is some link here. I don't think there'd be much harm in just knocking it in there, Ms. Madalani, a reference to it.
Can I speak to those points? Point one of Honourable Albert has been factored on point two and point three. Then point three of his has been factored on point five. Point four of his is on point seven. And point five of his is on point one.
Yes, it's already there. All right. So, you know, I know that the team does endeavour to bring everyone's points in. Can we accept that? Agreed. So we've looked at that. The only thing we haven't looked at, and it was because I was focusing on this, well, of course, I shouldn't just give an excuse. I didn't do it. So the, and I apologize, but what I have done is I gave out sheets of paper with a few points to say the intro will actually indicate what it is. We've got an X budget. This is our deepened, this is where our focus is, indicating the importance of the incentives and the role that they have played here. And where was the other that I raised? I wrote a little point note. What was the other one? And that we believe that the, you know, the route that we are taking with SEZ's industrial parks, with the, what's the other thing, the value addition in the manufacturing, the agro-processing, that all of those will indeed, you know, encourage or promote employment creation, all of those issues. And then finally, what I would like to put in this report, Honourable McPherson, in the intro, is that we are fortunate that the investment, that the climate, with the business confidence climate is now more positive, which is conducive to, in fact, ensuring the implementation, effective implementation of this mandate, the ones we mentioned. Because I don't think any party would disagree about the climate, the business confidence climate. I've heard them all and I've seen them writing in the newspapers, very happy about the business climate. And you yourself told me how happy you were, didn't you? Or am I misrepresenting you? All right. We need to show funding for NAMESA for its recapitalization. The point is, we've asked for this to be seriously reviewed, and I really didn't want to go down that street that said how unhappy we were with the department's offer. You know, and then that opens up that little door, you see, group chief operating officer. Do you see what I mean? You reiterate it again over 27 years or something, I'd be dead myself. So I really think it's ridiculous to go that long. Yes, Honourable McLaughlin.
No, I think, Chairperson, you have concluded the matter. Let's not go back, really, because we've done with the conclusion and recommendation. That thing, until it is firmly concrete and is also put into a clear plan and budget allocated, people must not give a statement of intent. We speak on what is in the plan.
That's what I like. Concrete action. No more intentions here. The road to hell is paved with them. Now, okay. So now, we've done the conclusions, the recommendations. And I must say, this has been a very constructive meeting. I want to thank you, Honourable MacPherson, because you did take the trouble to put recommendations here. And yes, you did, and you here. Thank you. And I want to thank the ALC working so well together with the Democratic Alliance, and I'm sorry that other parties couldn't make it. We now need to move formally for adoption. But before I do that, I need to commit myself to you on one thing. I will make available early tomorrow morning electronically to Mr. Herman, who will send it to you, the intro. It's going to be a very short intro of about 10 lines. I don't think you need more. All right? And then on that basis, and I'd like both parties to participate in this if possible, can we please have someone to move for the adoption of the committee report? Honourable Ms. Lawball, seconded by?
Sorry, is this the committee report that we've just adopted? As we have done for the last 4 years, we will have to abstain until the caucus has considered it.
Well, like I say, I continue to persuade you to change that position and to persuade your party to, but I respect it. Honourable Mantash, are you seconding it?
I'm seconding it.
Thank you very much. And I hope you're going to take that to the party, that point I keep on making, Honourable MacPherson. We are not meeting tomorrow. However, I must advise all members of the committee that there are these small budgets and that it is important that members do support the economic cluster. Does anyone know what is happening at 10 o'clock? Yes, Honourable Adebi? Rural and land at 10. Then I think we must show our commitment and not find that only one grouping in Parliament is here. But there are certain members who've requested funeral attendance, etc. And I have already signed. And did you sign, Honourable Kadebi?
I've signed for one.
No,
okay. I've signed one now.
Okay, that's it.
Not signed by you.
Well, I signed one. Where's yours, Honourable?
Our previous comrade had a birthday. Approved already.
I know, yes. It's just a formality, huh? Right. On that note, when is the next meeting, Mr. Herman?
Chair, next meeting scheduled for next Wednesday.
The 15th, Tuesday. So surely we don't want to have a meeting in the morning, do we?
I just want to place it on record. For the first time in 4 years, you don't want to have a meeting. That is extraordinary.
No.